CliffCentral.com.
The two families considered holding the wedding in Mauritius, Singapore, Italy, or Dubai. But in the end, it was the bride who insisted that South Africa was closest to her heart, and that she would be married in the country she considers home.
There's a saying that says, there is nothing new under the African sun. But for just a few days here at the Lost City, this African sun will transform into an Indian sun.
It would be a traditional North Indian wedding over the better part of a week, and the very first marriage for one of this generation of Gupta children.
You're with Wedding Central, myself, Carly De Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Tlapo.
And we are talking the big fat Gupta wedding.
Yes, yes, finally. I mean,
it's 4 years ago. Can you believe it?
Really, 4 years?
It's 4 years ago, yeah.
Jesus, that went by. And as we do in South Africa when politicians are involved, we pick up on things way later. And now with this whole
thing. Are we behind on things?
Yeah, I mean,
things?
I mean, 4 years. Jesus, you know? But it's
still trending. Yeah, no, that's the 100%. That's one thing that is happening.
Yeah, so obviously now with this whole thing with all these Gupta leaks and, you know, state capture and all of that stuff, we thought, you know what, for somebody who's listening or somebody who's in the wedding industry, maybe they're asking themselves, goodness, how can a wedding cost 30 million rand? I mean, I think it's 33 or 34 million rand all in all. But I mean, how does a wedding actually get to that? And we were not talking like the politics side of it, even though it is taxpayers' money and what.
Yeah,
what,
I mean, that was a big thing, huh?
Yeah, but our whole thing is, how do we get to a wedding that is 34 million rand dollars in South Africa?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, for us, a big wedding is something that, you know, 2 million rand or, you know, even 5 million, 8 million rand, and that is like, wow, all, everything, you know what I mean? So if you get to a wedding that is that much money, how on earth do you get to that amount?
Well, if you look at the wedding, it was a 4-day extravaganza, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
It was the wedding of the century, something, you know?
Yes.
So when it is 4 days, that when you divide that amount by 4 days, then you will get your daily rate per function.
Right.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you
imagine? What does that work out to be?
I mean, I'll just retire after that. I'm done. There's nothing else to do after that, right? I mean, how do you go with like such a big budget and then I'm dealing with like 300,000 after it?
No, yeah,
I'm done.
But I think the biggest, you know, we forget that all the guests were accommodated. They booked out 200 odd rooms from the...
Sorry, I'm playing a video here.
Are you playing a video?
Yeah, it's from the actual Gupta wedding that I wanted to actually pay for everyone from the top billing feature that was there.
Oh, yes. Oh, shame. Jason Basol, he covered the wedding.
Yes. And we'll actually put the link up on our Facebook page just so that you guys can actually take a look and see how all of that worked. But first off, let's talk about how the guests actually got there. So first and foremost, a lot of the guests were flown in, especially the Gupta family. Yeah. The South African locals, I think some of them were driven there. Their VIPs were flown by private jet.
Yes.
I don't know how many of you have ever been. I haven't. God, come through for me. I'd love to.
I want to experience it. I'm going on Kalula tomorrow. No way close.
If you're leaving from Lanseria, at least you're within the vicinity. You're in the
feels,
right place.
It feels like a little bit of a
private. Yeah, yeah. So if you've ever thought about, gosh, how much does a private jet actually cost? We've looked up a couple of things here. And just to get from Lanseria to Rustenburg to hire a flight is 111,000 rand.
111,000 rand.
Yes, and that seats 7 guests plus plus 2 pilots and I think 2 hostesses. That's all.
Yeah.
So if you're flying and the guests, how many people actually attended the wedding?
About 400.
Let's say perhaps half of that
was
family that was coming in from India, from Dubai, from over the world. Of course, my darling. They are, you know, they landed at the military base first and then they were taken to Lanseria and then from Lanseria they were jetted over to there. So if we take 200, right, let's just do a little calculation here. 200 guests divided by 7, that's about 28 return flights.
Sure.
Right? 28.
Which is one way that figure.
No, it's a return.
Oh, is it a return?
It's a return. So if we take 28 of those, that's already about 3 million rand purely.
On flight.
On flight. Just flight. Now, of course, they get there. And it's like you're saying, it's a 4-day extravaganza. Yeah. They are Indian. Do you know perhaps if they are Muslim or any particular religion?
No, I must be honest, I don't know him.
Okay, but anyway.
He's Hindu.
It might be, right? Because I know they had the fire burning ceremony or whatever,
so
the case is.
I think it's definitely Hindu.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that particular tradition, there are a couple of days. So, you know, even with African weddings, we've got a couple of days to the wedding. They've got different festivities that happen every single day. But if they were to book out Sun City, right?
Yeah.
And understand this, that they booked out the entire Sun City.
For days.
And remember, there's days before, there's staff, there's, you know, vendors that need to stay over, that need to be accommodated as well as be fed, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is having minimum 3 meals a day. All of those meals are top class. That's none of the standard menus that you have. They've catered particular menus for this particular wedding.
They have outside catering.
Yes, they had outside catering because of the religion. So they had to bring in outside catering. And can you imagine, when I say Sun City, guys, I'm talking about the accommodation, so the palace, all of the venues. They had even booked out Valley of the Waves.
Closed.
This is my domain. This is my house. Can you imagine for a week? Jesus, like our money, guys. Taxpayer for what?
I have a client that's she's her Hindu bride getting married, and her dad was actually saying that the entire or everybody who attended the wedding, they had tailors making their outfits.
I'm on the floor.
Yeah. They literally, the tailors were making their outfits.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So it suits. I don't know what the male attire is for.
Yeah.
I know the ladies wear sari.
Yes.
But I don't know what the male equivalent is. But
we'll chat to somebody in our next podcast. With regards to Indian
weddings.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that. But can you imagine tailors making, churning out perhaps 100 outfits?
Yeah.
Just then and there. Can you imagine the timeline? Can you imagine the material that had to be flown in, jetted in, you know, the machines, the workroom that had to be set up, the fittings that were constantly happening. I mean, these people put on a production. I would have loved purely if they could put out a documentary
on this
how
wedding.
This wedding came together. I mean, I promise you, it's probably stuff like that movies are made out of, you know.
I mean, the guys who did all the entertainment and that type of thing, they were from they did the opening and closing of the Commonwealth Games.
I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding
me? Imagine if somebody do these type of things.
Hey, I mean, the stage that they put up at the actual Valley of the Waves is something that they put up in the water. They didn't put it in, you know, where the sand is or where they usually have their performances.
Yeah.
The stage is literally levitating on top of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm done. Like, I actually cannot comprehend how much money was actually spent. And the thing is, it was spent so lavishly and so carelessly. And I understand. And, you know, I'm part of the people that are outraged that there's so much waste of money for such a huge, extravagant event. And, you know, only to find that this money was not for them. So, but by the way, I was just talking about the cost of the rooms. A cost of a room at Sun City, we spoke to him and found out that minimum you're looking at 4,500 rand per night. And the maximum goes up to about 43,700 rand per night.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think they've got about 7 of those kinds of rooms. And imagine booking that out for a week. I mean, you know, like, you know. So
well, there was that whole thing that it took them a good 18 months to get the money from them.
Yeah,
you know?
So Sun City, there's a huge article here about how Sun City, and this is on Eyewitness News, there's a article on there that says how Sun City had to fight the Guptas for their wedding payment. And of course, I can understand it being so stressful because you have this huge, lavish celebration and all of these suppliers coming in and you have your staff working overtime and, you know, people are feeding, like, it's this whole production and only to find it hasn't been paid for. And this is a huge struggle, you know. That's why a lot of people, you know, in the wedding industry, people don't work like that anymore. People always insist that all payments need to be made.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2013,
especially
even.
That magnitude, it would be like, come guys.
But you know what I think it is? I think if you're starting to speak in millions.
Yeah.
Like, you don't doubt.
It becomes like.
Yeah, like if you're going to squeal about 700,000, it's like, please just relax. You know, like we're dealing with millions and millions of rand.
I mean, there was also in one of the articles that they wanted to plant flowers just to spell out the bride and groom's name. But there was certain things that Sun City did to actually put their foot and down say, and
absolutely
say no.
Not. Because, yeah. I mean, they actually got away with quite a lot. I mean, there is no, like any space that you can think of within Sun City, there's no space that they actually did not get a hold of and decorate some kind of way to make it their own.
I mean, like I've mentioned before, I was doing a wedding in the February that year, and I got a phone call to say that we are looking for 40 florists.
No.
For, you know, a wedding in Sun City, and I was actually in Sun City doing a wedding.
Ah.
And they turned, you know, and I was like, well, I'm currently doing a wedding in Sun City at the moment. The guy said, yes, I know. And I was like, okay, is there any possibility we could maybe speak the following week and just discuss, you know, from there? And before we, you know, then I was like, okay, well, he had contacted me again, and I had to know what the dates were. And when he told me the dates, I had to turn it down because I
you
got
were
married.
Getting married that
I got
weekend.
Married the 27th. So, and then when I got back from honeymoon, there on carte blanche, it was just splashed all over. I was like, I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. That
yeah, Gupta
we were getting married the same weekend.
Oh my word, that is so crazy. Yeah. And then another thing that was on there, I wanted to speak to you specifically, was about their decor.
Oh.
So we will post a little bit of an album on our Facebook page with the Gupta wedding photos. I don't know, and that hasn't come out as much because even when I was doing research for this particular podcast, this was the first time I was actually seeing images of the wedding. It's not something that was publicized as much. I think people were just speaking about the lavish amount and, you know, the fact that everyone was being flown in and, you know, they had this room of tailors and like all of those details, but I hadn't actually seen the decor elements of the actual wedding. It is
phenomenal.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
This is stuff from the movies. It looks like a production of some kind of Moulin Rouge circus vibe. They have things hanging from the ceiling. They have crystals, literally crystal cages around. I think these are obviously sculptures of particular elephants, and I think elephant is a huge part of that particular religion.
Well, that's actually based at Sun City, hey?
This big elephant.
That is in the center of the palace.
Okay.
We've actually done a wedding there where the ceremony was.
Stunning.
But they've incorporated that into the decor, which it makes so much sense, especially with an Indian wedding.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So they've got these crystals hanging, the draping. I mean, the sheer production level.
It's quite interesting, you know, to see because, I mean, I think that particular elephant is really, you know, there's a whole lot of rooms around there as well, that, you know, in the palace. And I'm very interested to know how they kept it quiet while they were doing all the setup if the guests were staying.
Yeah.
And, you know, it must have been just the logistics of that.
This
wedding.
Is what I want them to make
a movie
about.
I can't even
start
to fathom.
Yes.
Yeah, can they make a movie?
Yeah,
we
because
want to
we
see
just
the documentary.
To see, just to see how, like, you know, do we know who the wedding planner behind that was? Was there an actual wedding planner or was it just a matter of just bringing everyone about?
There was. Gavin Raja was involved in like the styling and the conceptualization, but I think there was a number of different teams.
I can you know, if you're dealing with something of that magnitude, I'm sure you had to have people that were designated to certain things. But he was just basically like an advisory kind of person, and that totally makes sense. I'm pretty sure they had to book out a week before as well, just to get all of that, because I imagine with that elephant, all of that stuff would have to happen before the guests actually check in, because I can't imagine having scaffolding and things like that
and
guests,
banging.
I can't imagine that's kind of what they had to have going around. Then they also had fireworks. You know, I remember when
fireworks.
You
just
know,
something else.
They're amazing. And you know, in South Africa, it's not such a. We don't have the luxury of being allowed to have fireworks in many places. I think there's like a 2% 2%,
and especially with all the. The
animals, so it's surprising to me. I wonder how they got that to fly, because it's literally in the middle of.
I think anything with money will.
You
be
can
able
buy anything,
to, anything.
Yeah. So
it,
all
this
the elephants.
Just proves it.
And, I mean, you know what I mean. Even though it was our money, hey, you know what. But I remember even when Colin Cowie was here, and he said, you know, the easiest way you can waste money is fireworks, because they are the most expensive thing. You need engineers, you need fire teams, you need so many different elements to be there in order to put on just a 15-minute fireworks show. So they had stunning fireworks, which also would have taken up some of the budget. And then, of course, they've got all of the entertainment, like you had mentioned before. They had people coming in from overseas to come and perform.
Yeah, they had a whole mixture of things. They had a lot of South African
bands
as well.
They
wanted to showcase the talent of South Africa. I mean, they were also talking about where they originally wanted to get or do the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they wanted like Dubai, Singapore, Italy.
Yes.
And there was a few countries that they were considering. But then yes. I think it was the bride that had said, you know, South Africa is very close to her heart. And she wanted
very
to
close to her parents' money.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just insane the amount of money that was actually spent. What I do also want to speak about is the jewelry that was there.
I take my hat off to the bride. I cannot even start to begin to understand how she must have been feeling those days.
That
because
week.
She must have been absolutely exhausted. And I know from my Hindu brides, when they're wearing their outfits, they get
heavy.
So tired because they are so heavy.
Because of
and
the
I mean,
bleeding.
You look at, she had like gold, she had gold encrusted rose things down her dress or down her attire. And it was just, that in itself must have been kilos
crazy.
Of stuff.
I want to see the state of her earlobes because, you know, because all of the earrings she wore were these double stacked hanging earrings that were encrusted with jewels and diamonds and this gold. And I mean, she looked regal. She looked absolutely beautiful. She has henna all the way up to like half of her, like near her shoulder. She looked absolutely beautiful, but I cannot imagine what she was feeling and the weight of all of her clothes. You see, those are things that the documentary would be amazing for if they could weigh all of her outfits before she wore them.
Yeah. You see, like in some of the like video clips and things like that, she doesn't look the happiest.
Yeah, but
I think it's just this. It must have been so overwhelming, so tiring. It's quite interesting.
You see, and this is something I always am so concerned about, and it's a big concern for my own wedding as well. Is this, you know, when you have so many people at your wedding, realistically, how can you not be overwhelmed?
Yes,
you know what I mean. Especially if you're not, you know, as much as I'm a person who, you know, groet bek, and I'm always talking and what, you know, I'm not necessarily somebody who wants to be right in the front and in the limelight. I don't mind being in the background working or whatever the case is. And it's just like you have all these people there. All of their eyes are on you, like it's about you, and you cannot escape it on that particular day. And to have that, in addition to having, they had TV crews there, they had all of these dignitaries there. So apparently the security presence was so, so heavy. Could not just, you know.
You think of all the dignitaries,
yes.
They all come with their own bodyguards.
Everyone comes with their own team, and everyone comes and does their own sweep. I cannot imagine, just in terms of the security nightmares, and checking cars, and sweeps, and bomb sweeps. And apparently the bomb sweeps were constantly happening because obviously they've got the Guptas. They have people from everywhere. It wasn't necessarily just South African.
Yeah, they were going to bomb something.
Yeah. Hey babe, like you were in the money there. The people that robbed the airport should have just planned properly. They should have started there. It's gone and gone. But you know, they were constantly doing those sweeps, and that, I can imagine the intense pressure and the back of house stuff that you must have been aware of. You know, as much as you try to hide a lot from the bride, there's stuff that you cannot. You have to say, well, this is what's happening, how this delay is caused by a sweep or a security, or there's been a breach. You know, that stuff is constantly happening, so I can imagine.
I've also thought about how many makeup artists must they have had to have on standby there.
Wow.
It's just, and I mean, because it's heavy makeup as well.
Yes.
And it's constant.
It's lashes and like just the sheer production line of getting ready, the hairstylist, the henna artist.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they said they had all of those things available even for the guests that were in-house.
Yeah.
So even if you didn't have, I mean, can you imagine? You basically could have gone to that wedding without a suitcase. You were going to get toiletries. You could literally... Anything you wanted, you could get because everything was supplied for. And I guess it's what we keep on talking about creating this guest experience. But this was on
another level.
At most level. Like, you know, their goodie bags apparently had, like, their gifts to them. Every day there was a different gift to the guests. And all of them ranged from couture outfits or couture details from Gavin Raja, some electronics, all kinds of different bits and bobs that they got throughout the wedding days. And I mean, for me, that... every time I'm thinking this is times 400.
Times 400.
I wonder what the guest list was like managing that, because it's not the same people that got to attend every single day.
No.
The family, I think, came every day, but certain people were coming to like the whiter wedding, the other people were coming to yes, all of those different things.
And you think about 400 people is not a lot for an Indian wedding, hey?
It's not, because so usually they've got 800, 1,000.
Yeah, I'm it's quite interesting to see. I thought it would have been a lot more. That production just seems like it was a lot more.
100%. I mean, even the lighting alone. And I know just from getting, you know, basic lighting for some of the weddings that we do, you know, you're sitting with an invoice that's 40, 50, 60,000 rand. They are lighting up everything. Valley of the Waves, all the bridges, or, you know, every single part of the
city. I wonder if they kept the bridge still
shaking after. I wonder if they used any of their stuff for anything. This is also something I've always wanted to know, because did they bring in their own wait staff, especially because they brought in their own caterers? You know, some caterers
and they were allocating definitely one waiter or one staff member per 10 people.
Yes, 100%.
And I mean, yes, we generally do that anyway with a wedding, but for 4 days.
Can you imagine? The staff must be exhausted. Please, somebody listen to us and please do a documentary. I just want to know how this thing was put together. And, you know, even with the top billing, I'm sure that footage, I'm sure they got some behind the scenes.
Yeah. But,
and like we said, we will post that link onto our Facebook page, Wedding Central, just so you guys can take a look and see how. Unfortunately, obviously, Simba, who's now passed away, who's now late, he was that person actually covering that. And you can even go to his Instagram. I don't know if the page is still open, but there are quite a lot of photos that he posted live from the actual wedding.
Because I think he got up and showed them how to do the African
dancing. And he was also dressed really, really beautifully. And, you know, as Top Billing does when they send their people out. And, you know, there were many times where even his captions, you could see he was just...
He embraced it so much.
Gobsmacked as well. Like, just the sheer luxury and the sheer level of service. And apparently the service never dropped. Every single thing, you know, with a wedding that big and the details being so many, it's very easy for some things to be left out. You know, maybe a shuttle is late, or you know, people aren't fed on time or whatever. Nothing
went unturned.
Nothing was left to chance. Everything was built to the last, everything was planned to the last tee.
No, I mean, for me, I think that was definitely a wedding that we'll never see again.
We'll never see again, and I wish it was documented.
I wish it had a little bit more of a positive
ending.
I mean, can you imagine that couple?
The stress that they're feeling now. I wonder if they even feel in South Africa. Probably not.
I mean, for a couple to have such drama behind their wedding afterwards, for years, I mean, here we are, 4 years later, and we're still talking about it. It's just, you think about what are they... That's starting out their marriage, and it's actually quite sad for the two of them.
But it is. But another thing I say is, like, maybe, you know, on the other side, you may think that maybe their parents were paying for it. So they are kind of the...
I think it was the uncle, hey? She wasn't even the daughter.
Can you imagine? You see, now I'm going to get you. Are you joking?
I'm sure.
It wasn't baby mine.
Yeah.
That for me is insane. That means you went hunting for a place to go spend 34 million rand. That wasn't yours in the first place. It's crazy to even think that. But I think even with that, as the couple, I'm sure this is stressful to have all of the stuff around it, but I think they know primarily that it's not about them.
Yeah.
You know, it really is about how this money came about. And if I'm saying, oh, I'm having a wedding, and somebody says to me, here's a million rand, I'm going to accept it as a gift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And put it towards the wedding. You know, if stuff comes out, or it's not necessarily my... Who's going to say no to a million rand? You know,
can we find somebody to sponsor a wedding?
Please, babe, anybody who's willing, contact me.
Would you want that? I mean, come on. Would you want that size, though?
No, I mean
your mom would really like that.
I mean, for the traditional, I mean, this is going to be a battle until I think the actual wedding day. You know, because that's just how we do. But I'm not. I mean, even for our white wedding, we're having just about 40 people there.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we're not the type to have these, you know, huge hordes of people and have this big show. But you know, different strokes for different folks.
And they also looked. If you look at some of the videos, they look quite quiet people.
Very, very,
very and subdued and not
expressive.
Yeah.
Not expressive at all. You don't see a lot of photos of them smiling smiling and holding hands and you know, that whole show of affection, I don't know if that's a religious thing,
yeah,
because a lot of Muslims, Hindu, they don't have very big shows of affection or whatever. But you know, all the best to them. Yeah. I hope they're okay and nothing. I hope they better not get divorced. That part is for sure.
That would just be devastating.
And they shouldn't tell us if they do.
We don't want to know.
Yeah, we don't want to know. Don't tell us. But keep your eye on our actual Facebook page. We will post a lot of photos and we will post the links and stuff to the Top Billing feature that they did on this actual wedding. Thanks so much for listening with us. Keep up with the hashtag Wedding Central. CliffCentral.com.